Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How Progress Ends Technology, Innovation, and the Fate of Nations is a work of economic history and political economy by Carl Benedict Frey, an Oxford Scholar of Technology and Work. Published by Princeton University Press in 2025, it disputes the assumption that invention naturally produces lasting prosperity. Frey examines roughly a millennium of technological change, moving from pre-industrial societies and the steam age to contemporary concerns about artificial intelligence. His central concern is not whether societies generate useful ideas, but whether their institutions can turn those ideas into broad, durable economic gains. The book argues that progress rests on an unstable relationship between decentralized experimentation and the bureaucratic capacity to organize, standardize, and diffuse successful innovations. Through comparative cases including China, European states, Britain, Japan, the Soviet Union, and the United States, Frey explains why early leadership can give way to stagnation. The result is a historically oriented warning that neither advanced technology nor present wealth guarantees a continuing path of development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, progress is an institutional achievement rather than an automatic result of invention. Frey begins from a corrective to technological determinism. New machines. Scientific knowledge and entrepreneurial ideas can expand what a society is capable of doing, but they do not decide how those capabilities are deployed or who benefits from them. For much of human history, long periods of limited growth were normal even where technical knowledge existed. The relevant question is therefore, why some breakthroughs become foundations for sustained increases in productivity while others remain localized, are absorbed by incumbents, or disappear amid political disruption? Frey treats progress as a socio-political achievement because institutions shape incentives, access to capital, competition, education, property rights, and the ability of organizations to change course. This perspective also makes decline intelligible. A nation may retain skilled people, substantial resources, and impressive technical achievements while losing the institutional flexibility needed to convert novelty into continuing growth. The book does not deny the importance of technology. Instead, it places technology inside a wider system of political authority and economic organization. That framing distinguishes a temporary burst of invention from cumulative progress. It also challenges forecasts that assume artificial intelligence will inevitably produce a new era of prosperity, regardless of market structure, state capacity, or entrenched interests. Secondly, decentralized competition expands the search for new technologies. A major mechanism in the book is decentralization as a source of exploration. When political power, commercial opportunity, and intellectual life are distributed across competing actors, more people can test different approaches to production and organization. Rival firms, regions, and states may pursue uncertain ideas that a single authority would judge too costly, disruptive, or unproven. Failure is still common, but the system is less dependent on one decision-maker being correct. Frey connects this logic to organizational theory, especially the distinction between exploration and exploitation. Exploration involves experimentation with unfamiliar technologies and practices. It is essential at moments when established methods no longer offer large gains. Historical European political fragmentation matters in this account, because competition among polities could limit the ability of any one ruler or interest group to suppress. Alternatives everywhere. Britain during the Industrial Revolution is the broader argument that commercial and political competition can support technological dynamism. Yet decentralization is not presented as a universal formula. It can produce duplication, disorder, and weak coordination. Its comparative advantage is in discovering possibilities rather than reliably delivering them at scale. The book thus avoids simply equating open competition with a complete model of development, emphasizing instead its specific role in generating variety and protecting experimentation from premature closure. Thirdly, bureaucratic capacity converts promising innovations into mass adoption if decentralization helps discover new possibilities. Frey argues that bureaucracy and centralized coordination often help exploit them. Large economic transformations require more than an inventor or a competitive market. They may depend on common standards, transport networks, finance, technical training, public administration, and organizations able to replicate a successful process across vast populations. State institutions and large firms can supply coordination that dispersed actors struggle to provide. This helps explain why countries catching up to technological leaders have sometimes used concentrated authority to mobilize investment and build industrial capacity. Frey draws on the tradition of late industrialization associated with Alexander Gershenkron, while giving it a dynamic interpretation. Institutions that are useful for adopting established technologies may be poorly suited to frontier discovery. Prussia and Japan feature in the book as examples relevant to the potential strengths of coordinated development. The argument is not that bureaucracy is inherently hostile to growth. A capable bureaucracy can reduce uncertainty, organize large projects, and diffuse existing knowledge. The problem emerges when the apparatus built for standardization becomes permanent and self-protective. Then, the mechanisms that once accelerated adoption can discourage unorthodox experiments and shield inefficient organizations. Sustainable progress requires recognizing that scaling and discovering are different tasks, each requiring different institutional strengths. Fourthly, institutional rigidity explains why technological leaders can lose their edge. The historical cases are used to show that decline is often a failure of adaptation, rather than a simple absence of talent or technology. Societies can become locked into arrangements that matched an earlier developmental challenge, but no longer fit changed circumstances. Song China, for example, represents a technologically sophisticated society whose longer trajectory was constrained by political interest and institutional conditions that did not preserve an innovative edge. The Dutch Republic and Victorian Britain demonstrate that past leadership also offers no permanent immunity from later stagnation. Frey applies the same dynamic to modern development. Japan experienced remarkable post-war growth, but later slower performance. While the Soviet Union achieved rapid industrial and scientific advances before bureaucratic incentives and planning limitations became increasingly damaging. In each setting, the relevant issue is not a single institutional label, such as centralized or decentralized. It is whether a society can reconfigure its balance of authority, competition, and co-coordination as the technological frontier changes. Entrenched beneficiaries can make such adjustment difficult because disruption threatens established positions, revenues, and administrative control. This focus gives the book a more conditional argument than accounts that sort institutions permanently into good and bad categories. An arrangement may be effective for mobilizing resources or copying known methods, yet become a barrier when development demands discovery, entry, and organizational experimentation. Lastly, artificial intelligence raises a contemporary test of adaptability in China and the United States. Frey uses the history of technological change to question confident claims about an inevitable AI-driven acceleration in productivity and living standards. Artificial intelligence may be a powerful, general-purpose technology, but its eventual economic effect will depend on complementary institutions and organizational choices. New tools must be integrated into workplaces, business processes, skill systems, infrastructure, and regulatory arrangements before their potential becomes widely realized. The book therefore directs attention to current risks in major economies. In China, growing political centralization may limit the decentralized experimentation that frontier innovation requires. In the United States, the concern is different, but related dominant incumbent firms can weaken competition and constrain the entry of challengers, reducing the exploratory dynamism associated with earlier periods of growth. Europe also appears in the book's larger field of concern because advanced economies can struggle to reconcile regulation, scale, competition, and innovation. Frey does not offer a mechanical policy checklist, since institutional reforms are shaped by national histories and political constraints. His practical contribution is diagnostic. Policymakers should ask whether their systems permit experimentation, whether successful innovations can be responsibly scaled, and whether powerful organizations can adapt rather than merely defend existing arrangements. AI makes these questions more urgent, but the analytical lesson applies to any major technological transition. In conclusion, How Progress Ends will be most useful to readers of economic history, political economy, innovation studies, technology policy, and business strategy. It also suits general readers who want a historically grounded alternative to both technological pessimism and the claim that digital innovation automatically delivers prosperity. Its intellectual benefit lies in replacing a simple question about whether a technology is powerful with harder questions about institutional fit, political incentives, competition, and organizational capacity. For policymakers and leaders, the practical value is a framework for distinguishing the conditions needed to discover new technologies from those needed to deploy them widely. That distinction discourages one-size-fits-all. Prescriptions more centralization is not always the answer, but neither is decentralization alone. The book stands out among works on growth and institutions because it treats institutional effectiveness as historically contingent, rather than presenting one permanently superior model. Frey argues that societies must manage a shifting balance between exploration and exploitation as their technological position changes. Its comparative scope, extending across a millennium and several major powers, also separates it from narrowly contemporary accounts of artificial intelligence or national competitiveness. Readers should not expect a detailed reform manual. They should expect a broad, evidence-based interpretation of why nations can turn technical leadership into stagnation when their governing and economic structures cease to adapt. That perspective makes the book particularly relevant to debates over AI, concentrated corporate power, and state capacity. If you would like to support Carl Benedict Frey, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.